Hello, everyone. This is Dave Goulas, president of EasyDC 3PL, and thank you for tuning in to the Beyond Fulfillment podcast, where we spotlight small business owners, entrepreneurs, startup founders, and we have real conversations about their journey, what it's really like, and what they've learned along the way. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Beyond Fulfillment podcast. I'm your host, Dave Goulas of EasyDC 3PL. And this week, my guest is the founder and the managing partner of the Grow Network, Summit Hope. Welcome, Summit.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on the show. If you could, just for everyone, can you tell us what the Grow Network is and how it came to be?
Yeah, so it's actually two businesses that run side by side. So the Grow Network and Grow Real Estate Partners. So our core business is a commercial real estate tenant rep firm where we are hyper-focused on managing the real estate portfolios specifically for 3PL companies. And more so than that, really mid-market growth-minded 3PLs and just really focused on that niche. And then the Grow Network is just it's really an engine behind that business because in reality, really, the Grow Network is a network of these 3PL operators that we manage the real estate for, that we then go out to brands and shippers and manufacturers, and they can use us to find the right providers for their needs, right? So sometimes a lot of these folks are tasked with just getting on Google and trying to find something. You know, they Google 3PL in Louisville, 3PL in Dallas, right? And they just kind of go with who pops up first. And sometimes that works out well, and a lot of times it doesn't. And a lot of our guys are these mid-market. A lot of them are family-owned, like they don't have a super solid online presence, so they're not easy to find in some cases. So the major value add for a lot of these brands and manufacturers that are looking for a good operator is that we know who's good at what, we know who has space where. And frankly, we know a lot of guys that not a lot of people do. So, when you come to us and say, hey, I need to place, you know, 5,000 pallets of water bottles, I'm like, hey, these three guys, they're solid. You got to talk to them, make the introduction, and then I walk away. So, my whole point of doing that is it really helps the brand or the manufacturer looking for a 3PL expedites the process like 10x. On the flip side, you're providing opportunities for the 3PLs to win some new business. And at the end of the day, what happens whenever the 3PLs are winning a bunch of new businesses? They want to go take on some new space. And that's our core business. And that's where we actually generate our revenue is managing those real estate portfolios and helping really facilitate the growth for all these 3PLs across the country that are really trying to grow their business.
Wow. Yeah, and I was listening to you on another show, and you were telling the story, too, of how you started Grow, and you had the idea because you were in the commercial real estate market, and you didn't have a niche that you could really focus on to become an expert, and that was causing challenges.
Yes, man. So commercial real estate is a crazy – it's the Wild West, man. It's like what the reality of the commercial real estate world is – you eat what you kill. It's 100% commission. So you get into the business and there's a major barrier to entry for a lot of folks because you get in and they go, okay, bud, here's a desk, a phone, a computer. That's your geographical market. Go pound the streets every day, walking in buildings and just go try to dig up some deals. See if you can find some assignments, right? Go find somebody making a move, selling a building, buying a building, whatever you can find. I spent a year in Grand Prairie going door to door to door. Guys are ruthless out there, man. They're slamming doors in your face. They're throwing you out the dock doors. I mean, then you start getting, okay, I gotta be creative with how I get in here. So, they're not letting me in the front. So I jump up the dock door and I talk to the guy on the dock and I'm trying to get some information from him, you know, and then I go in through the back and I find the biggest office and walk in there, you know, and the guy just, you know, sometimes he's cool. Sometimes he's going to unload on you. How in the world did you get in here? But that's a crazy way to do it, honestly, because that's And the guys kept saying it's going to take you 10 years before you build a business doing it this way. It's proven. All of us have done it. This is how you do it. And ultimately, I just kind of sat back. I was like, man, I don't have 10 years. I gotta make something happen now. And what are they not doing? Like, what's a different way of doing this? Well, if everybody in the world in this business is focused on a geography, I'm gonna focus on an industry, because there's nothing worse than walking in and pitching somebody on why they should hire you for real estate, and you don't know the first thing about their business. You couldn't tell them anything about how they operate, why they do certain things. You couldn't help them any other shape or form in their actual business. And I just felt like I just didn't have enough value add when I'm walking in. So I start focusing on an industry, start focusing in the 3PL world. I taught myself the business by really asking questions, finding synergy, and connecting dots for folks, teeing up the phone calls, the Zoom calls. And I'd just sit there and I'd listen and listen and listen to the questions he's asking, listen to the answers, and start finding motivation and figuring out what really is motivating these guys to do this and that, and really just problem solving on top of that. And what it really led to is the creation of Grow. And I left the firm that I was with because they were it was just a traditional real estate firm, and they're focused on their geography. They didn't see the vision that I had, so I just decided I was going to do it on my own. So that was when Grow was really born. And then, fast forward, we're almost to year four, and we've got five guys in here now, and we're rolling, man. It's a lot of fun, and we've sort of become the chief growth officers for a lot of our 3PL clients. That's really how they see us. So, and they don't pay us, right? So we're a free service to these 3PLs, and we sort of operate like their chief growth officer, and it plays a major role in the success of their business. And other real estate brokers can't hold a finger to us when it comes to our niche, because they don't do even an inch of what we can do for these guys, right? From helping them staff their buildings, helping them find the right GM, helping them do all kinds of different things, man. So.
Wow. Yeah, and that's some incredible self-awareness on your part to because you don't hear of that often when someone says, I'm really not offering enough value, right? So what can I do differently? And you ended up creating a niche within your firm, and then they didn't see that vision. So you went and started on your own. Like what was that like? Did you always have that entrepreneurial drive and wanna be on your own? And like, what was that like first getting started moving away from the company?
Yeah, I think every entrepreneur out there sort of know at an early age, like, hey, I really want to do something great. I want to build something on my own, right? I feel like that's something I've always wanted to do. It's what I saw my dad do. It's what I saw my brother do. It's what I've seen my uncles do. Like, everybody in my family has built something on their own, and my dad taught me at a really young age, like, hey, I am not giving you anything. You're going to earn everything that you get. So don't even think about, me handing you off anything that I've built. This is mine. So you got to go get yours, right? And I really appreciated him teaching me that at a young age. So it sort of really pushed me, even just, in the early years, right? Like, I played football at in high school, and I didn't even I played five high school football games, but I really wanted to play in college. I was like, I think I was a late bloomer, but I was like, I'm athletic enough. I think I can play at the Division I level. But I played five high school football games that I actually started on varsity. I played my whole life, but I started on varsity for five games before I broke my collarbone. Long story short, I just was like, hey, I rolled into Texas Tech football facility and said, hey, I'm coming to Texas Tech either way. I grew up in Lubbock. I want to be here, but I want to be on this football team. I don't have any film for you, but I can run a 40-yard dash. And Coach Tuberville let me run a 40-yard dash for him. And he timed me in that 40-yard dash, and he looked at it like, what in the world? And he said, go run that again. So I went and ran it again. I'm all breathing heavy. And And I ran a 4.36 twice, hand time, but 4.36 is pretty quick. So he said, "Hey, go pick out a locker. I'll put your name on the board, and we'll see you first day of classes." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness! I just got on the Texas Tech football team, which has been a dream since I was a child." And so just that I'm not going to take no for an answer and kind of manifest it and make it happen mentality sort of been something that that my dad really beat into my head at a young age, and I just carried it through that and then carried it into this into the working world, right? Obviously, I needed to go learn a trade somewhere, right? So I took a job out of college with my dad's best friend, and I was trying to learn from him, and I wasn't in the right place there. I was still kind of in that college mode and hadn't really found myself yet, what I really wanted to do. I wasn't sure about it. So then I met the folks I used to work for and decided to jump into the real estate world. And they basically sold it as like, "Look, man, this is a sink or swim. This is one of those deals. You got to bet on yourself and you got to be willing to go make some stuff happen right on your own. Right. Otherwise it's going to be rough for you." And I love that challenge. That just reminded me of, you know, walking on at Texas Tech and then earning a scholarship. It was like, this feels like the same thing. I'm going to challenge myself with it. So I jumped in and battled through the first year, and things started to pick up, and then they picked up a little more. And then, you know, I was there for 3.5 years, and then I started to grow and been rolling ever since then. So it's a long-winded answer to your question, but.
Wow. And that's such a great story, because like you hear that so often with people that have achieved success in whatever it is, where they bet on themselves and they were willing to do it and they just went. And so many people have those ambitions, those desires, but a common thing we see is like they let fear hold them back from taking that leap, making that move, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, is that ever, because you seem to just go and just, you know, where does that come from, and how do you deal with like, you know, any fears that might come at you?
Yeah, man, fear is it can be scary, and don't get me wrong, I have my fair share of like, you know, of fear, right? But fear really is I don't let it tie me down, because I'm not scared to fail, and I learned that also at a very early age. If you're scared to fail, you can't really do much. I mean, you're going to be bound by that for a long time, and failure is where so much growth happens, man. I've learned, and my parents would tell you I was the most hard-headed kid on the planet. I was like, I'm the reason they didn't have a third kid, because of how hard I was to raise. But part of it was, I'm going to learn this lesson the hard way. I'm going to, "Oh, you told me I shouldn't do that. I'm going to go test it. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have done that." You know, I learned those lessons the hard way. I tested the waters, and I never let fear hold me back. And it got me in a lot of jams, but it also taught me a lot. And I think the ability to, or just the simple, just the understanding that, that failure is not the end, right? Failure is something that you should cherish and really press into, because the lessons you learn from those sort of failures from betting on yourself just make you better and better and better. And then you just keep going, and it compound effect, and you look up and now you're really got something going, and your chance of failure is significantly less because you've learned a lot of lessons along the way.
Yeah, it's a great answer, and so true, right? Because like, it's not the failure itself. Like you said, you learn, you grow, you realize it's not the end. It makes you better. It's the fear of failure is what really stops people from taking action and making those moves. You mentioned also a lot of the lessons you learned growing up. I was reading one of your featured posts on LinkedIn, and you talked a lot about growing up on a farm, on your dad's farm, and everything that he taught you. It seems like that shaped a lot of your, you know, a lot of your qualities and what's made you successful in your career.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't trade that for the world. My growing up on a farm is really tough, honestly. I mean, at the time, I told you I can't stand this and I want to get away from this as fast as I can, just because, you know, I'm waking up on a summer morning and I'm going to work on a farm all day, and my buddies are all going to the pool and getting golf lessons and just enjoying their summer. And that was never us. It was get up, you're going to the farm, And my dad would say, you can get up with a good attitude and get paid, or a bad attitude and not get paid. But either way, you're coming to the farm. So get up. And I'd be like, you know, rustling around in bed, not wanting to get up. And man, if I didn't get up, I mean, the second time he came in there, if I didn't get up, he would jerk the covers off and throw ice cold water on me. And I'd come flying out of bed. And if, you know, obviously you're going to have a pretty bad attitude if that's how you get out of bed. So he would make his point. He would throw me in the back of that truck. We'd go to the farm. I mean, I'm 16, 17 years old. I mean, I'm at the age where you start to be like, oh yeah, dad. But no, he's taking me to the farm, and he would put me on mile long rows with four or five other guys that didn't speak my language and stick me out there. And he'd put water bottle on both ends of mile long rows. And I would just hoe weeds walking all the way down, all the way back. And he'd meet me with a cheeseburger at noon, and wouldn't pay me. He'd stick me out there all day and be like, you can have a better attitude tomorrow. I'm like, yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, that kind of, so, you know, that was a hard way to grow up, honestly, but I can attribute so many things back to the way that formed my, the way my mind works. Right. And one of my favorite things that I'm so blessed my dad taught me was if you don't have anything to do, like if you're at work and I haven't given you something to do, you find something to do. So it's sort of this proactive mentality of like, hey, I don't sit on my, on, I don't sit on the couch and scroll on Instagram. I don't turn on a show. I don't, like, you find something to do or we're going to have a big problem. Right. So sweep the barn, clean my office, go clean the tractors, go do whatever, like just make something, you know, happen. Right. And, you know, you fast forward into football. And one of the reasons I earned a scholarship, and the coaches told me this, they said, Summit, you know, you're on scout team. And, one of the guys, you know, one of the starters isn't paying attention or doesn't run out there when his name's called, you would run. I mean, that was part of what I would do is like, if I found a gap anywhere where somebody wasn't paying attention, I filled that gap. I ran in and just took their position for, even if it was one play, just so practice could keep going. Right. I found a need, I filled it. And then I got back out of there. Right. And coaches see that stuff on film and they were just like, man, I mean, you never let anything pass by. No, not one opportunity pass by that you didn't jump on getting some time on film. Right. In that sort of scenario. So, just an example of like, hey, something needs to be done right now. He's not doing it. I'm going to do it kind of deal. And then you fast forward into the real estate business and you're looking at, hey, there's not a real estate deal to be had right now. This guy's in a 5-year lease on his building, but what can I do for him right now to serve him, to help him grow his business, to bring some sort of opportunity to the table? What kind of problems is he facing that I can solve today and just find something to help him that he may not even see that I could help him with, right? And those are some of the advantages that I think a lot of our clients see. They're just like, man, this is so much more than a real estate broker relationship. This is astronomically different. And they're so deeply involved in my business every day that it's kind of like, I think that a lot of them would tell you they can't see their business without us in it. And that stems from simply my dad beating into my head as a kid that if I haven't told you to do something, you find something to do and you make it happen. And it's paid dividends for me for year over year over year.
Yeah, that's a great philosophy. Like you said, proactive, and how it translates to in sales, especially too. And when you're growing a business, you always have to go the extra mile for your customers and you never know where that next deal is going to come from. So if you're always out there with that mindset of how can I help? Whatever it is, like you said, it's paid big dividends for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
You mentioned walking on at Texas Tech. So you played alongside arguably the greatest player of this current generation, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, man.
What was that experience like?
You know, he's very special, man. We saw that so early too. It's like, and I'll be the first one to tell you, we were the worst defense in the country. I was a safety. We were the worst defense in the country. It's pretty wild because he would put up 70 points in a game and we would still lose. I mean, somehow we would still lose. So we would see, like, we're going 7-5 or, you know, 6-6, and all 12 games, this dude is doing things that just make the crowd go insane. And you're just like, how did he do that? But when the draft rolls around and we didn't win a lot of games, we weren't in the prime time games a lot. We were some, but not a whole lot, not enough to where people, like, everybody knows Patrick Mahomes is going to be drafted high in this draft. But we all knew, like, this dude is special, man. Like, he's doing things that we never seen before. And going into the draft, it was really cool to know that about him, but not really sure where he's going to land. He wasn't even sure. He thought, we were at his draft party in Tyler, and he was kind of like, man, you know, if I don't go to one of these teams pretty early, I might go all the way down to, you know, the guys, you know, and I might be like 25 to 30, something around there. And Chiefs trade up at number 10 and went and snagged him, and was just a shock, went top 10. And I think the Chiefs got that's got to be the best draft pick in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs entire program. I mean, in the fact that Mitch Trubisky went off the board number one, and I can't even remember who the other, maybe it was Deshaun Watson, whoever went second, and then Pat slid to number 10, was pretty wild. But crazy experience, you know, going through all that with him. He was a little bit younger than me, so I was out of there after 1 year, but I was also head of recruiting, sort of, I don't want to say head of recruiting. I was the local kid from Lubbock that when all the recruits were in town, I would host all the parties, and I would take the guys to go hunting, and I would take them to go, you know, the coaches would be like, hey, we really need, you know, you got to show these guys a good time. So I'm from Lubbock, you know, obviously that's an honor to be asked to do that. So I would just take them to dinner and we would go do all kinds of stuff. So I built a lot of good relationships with those guys through that. And then I graduated, came out here, and then a year and a, or 2 years after that, he was drafted to the Chiefs. And then now, pretty wild world right now, especially when you add in the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift stuff. But it's pretty cool, man. He's a blessed individual, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him be successful.
And you still go out and see a lot of the Chiefs home games, is that right?
Yeah. We're still pretty close, which is pretty cool. He's actually one of the reasons that I started this company. It was because I was asking him when he signed his contract. I was like, man, how can they pay you that much money? And he goes, Summit, that's because they know they're gonna make that much money off of me. He goes, think about who's writing my checks. And I'm like, that's a good point. You know what I mean? He's like, I just thought it was crazy that it's a really good point, because he's like, you know what? I mean, for me, I was looking at taking a job with another firm or a couple other firms, and they had offered me these signing bonuses and whatever else to come over there. And I'm like, if they're willing to pay me to come over there, it's because they know how much money they're going to make off of me. So you know what? I'm going to go start my own deal. I'm going to do this myself. I don't want to just go to another firm and, you know, keep fattening the pockets of, you know, some of these other guys. I'd rather just go take a shot on myself, and I'm going to see what I can do. And that's another reason that Grow exists today.
Yeah. Yeah. Always bet on yourself, right? It's such a great, great motto. Another post I saw on your profile was about IWA. And that's where we actually, we had connected prior and been talking, yeah. We met in person at IWA. And yeah, I was really impressed too, because you took time. We were just starting out and you really tried to help me, made a bunch of introductions and really, you know, just trying to help another business grow. And when I read the post, I was just, I didn't realize, but you talked about when you first went there as a new company, you couldn't even afford to get in. So you were like playing the hallway at the trade show. And everyone that's bootstrapping business kind of knows that grind where you're trying to just do more with less, right?
And yeah, man.
Fast forward a few years later, you grew so much that you're a sponsor at the annual event, which is, you know, is not cheap. And it was just kind of everything coming full circle, because that's such an important association in our industry.
Right.
And you went from like the bottom to coming back and being the sponsor in a very short period of time.
Man, that is very dear to my heart because I, the when I learned what IWLA was, I'm like all in on, I'm going full throttle, you know, focusing on the 3PL business. So I knew that that's a conference I need to be at, but I was just, I mean, barely scraping by, right? My now wife, we would go to dinner. We were dating at the time. We'd go to dinner and she would hand me her credit card under the table, so that I could pay for dinner. It looked like I paid for it with friends, but it was really her credit card. So she was just floating me. I mean, I'm just a bum boyfriend for a while, just trying to figure this out. I'm like, honey, bet on me. I promise I'm gonna figure this out. And she did. And long story short, you know, going to a conference like that, I just didn't have, you know, whatever, $2,500 or $3,000 to spend to go to the conference. So I just said, okay, I'm gonna get an Airbnb, and there's a slave quarters of a house in Savannah. They even marketed it as like, this was old slave quarters, so it was as cheap as you could get. And I got a little rental car and I went and sat in the lobby, and I knew all these guys' faces from LinkedIn. And I would just kind of like, I'd act like I'm at the conference, you know, I'm sitting in the lobby. Yeah, I'm just working. You guys have a good time in there. I'm gonna take care of this stuff out here. And I'll never forget my favorite one, is I won't say his name, because I'm actively working a deal. I'm actually going to dinner with him tonight, and we're about to close a his expansion in DFW. But the first time I met him in person was at that event. At that time, I'm in the lobby, and I saw him twice, and I was too scared to say anything. I was like, oh, I just can't do it. And the third time that I saw him, he had his bags with him, so he was leaving, and I was like, this is my last shot. So I just walk up to him and start talking to him, and he's got his car there, so I put his bags in his car for him, and he tried to tip me, and he thought that I worked for the hotel. And I just, whoa, no, sorry, I don't work here. You know, I kind of explained it for a second, and he just looked at me like I was crazy and apologized. I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on, but I gotta go. And just get in his car and left. And that was my first interaction with him. And now, going to dinner with him tonight, and we're about to expand him in a, you know, it'll probably be the biggest deal of my career. And it took me 8 years to get a shot, for him to give me a shot, and he is finally doing that. So we're fingers crossed, we're gonna get this locked up in the next, probably the next week or two. So anyway, crazy how full circle that one came. But yeah, that's it's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, like you said, right? Like, you think about that, because everyone has those moments when it's a big client, or you're just starting out, or you want whatever you want to go for. And like you said, you might have looked foolish, but again, that persistence, that focus, that discipline, that work ethic to always go the extra mile, add value, do whatever, always being doing something. And like you said, that type of stuff compounds. You know, the small disciplines over time continue to compound and multiply and pay big dividends later on. So,
That's exactly right, man.
okay. So you've obviously grow, and you have the 3PL network, you have the commercial real estate. Like, what's next as far as, you know, what you're going to do? And is it just kind of more building out within this niche? Do you have any other, you know, new plans coming up for the upcoming year?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I'm really focused right now on investing in the guys in my office and trying to get them rolling, because I want them to be able to build the business that I've created, right, for my pipeline and my clients, right? I'm setting them up where they can take the same model and get their own clients and have their business on our platform, if that makes sense. With the guys that they're working for and serving. And my number one goal, you know, over 2024 and really 25, is pour into these guys so that they can build the life that I know that they want to build, and they can build the families that they want to build, and setting them up for that. And along the way, it's grow, and it's also growing the clients that we have and serving their businesses at the same time. And it's really just a beautiful win-win-win-win-win all the way around. And really focusing on my family too. I got two little girls, and they're my whole world, man. So I'm those are the most exciting things to me. But as far as business goes, you know, I think one of the things that's in our future is there's a lot of guys that keep contacting us saying, hey, I want to sell my business. And a lot of guys that are asking, you know, they want to buy 3PLs. They are private equity firms or whatever, or larger guys that want to go roll up smaller operators all over the country kind of deal. And we're really starting to kind of get into that world of helping guys sell their business and helping, you know, find the right buyers for their business that are going to treat it and take care of it like they want them to, and take care of their people and that kind of thing. And I think that's going to be a big part of our future.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. And that's logical next step for the real estate business for sure. Cause there's so much of that activity and a lot of people getting retirement age, a lot of businesses going to be sold. And I love how that's the mindset too, of it's always helping other people win, from the clients, the potential customers, now the guys in your office. And I met a few of them, seem like super, you know, super great guys. You have a nice culture there in terms of everyone's, you know, helpful, wanting to work. And it's great that you're pouring back into them and just want to help them succeed the same way you have.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, adding value to the people around me, to the clients we have, to that's what it's all about. So we go to work every day to grow ourselves, grow our clients' business, grow our own business, and that's why we named the company Grow. We just want to be all about growth. I want people to think about us, and they want to think about, hey, I'm better because I know that person. My business is better because I know that person, and because they're involved with us. And that's a big driver for why we wake up in the morning and go do what we do.
Yeah, well said. So if people want to get in touch with you, learn more about what you do, or transact business in any way, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Man, I'm super easy to get a hold of on LinkedIn. I'm really active there. My email, you can put all this, whenever you post this too, I'll give you my email. It's just my first name, Summit, SUMMITT at grow-co.com. LinkedIn's the easiest. Summit's a really weird name, so pretty easy to find when you just type in Summit on there. But yeah, they contact me any way you see fit, and I'm happy to try to help any way that I can.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much, Summit Hove, for being a guest, and we will see you next time.
Hello again, Dave Gulas here. Thank you for tuning in to the Beyond Fulfillment podcast. If you like what you heard on today's episode and you got value from it, please click the link below to subscribe so you'll be notified of future episodes when they drop. If you would like to be a guest on a future show, you can also click the link below, or you can email us at info@beyondfulfillmentpodcast.com. That's info@beyondfulfillmentpodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.